The Paternity Test is a comedy podcast for adults. If you're not a grown-up, get off the internet. It's a horrible place.
Hello and welcome to episode 60 of The Paternity Test. I'm Todd Jay in the Chicago suburbs.
And I'm Matt Barese in Chicago.
And welcome back to the podcast that is very open-minded but refuses to respond to the command, pony up, daddy.
Pony, 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 pony up, daddy. Have you seen this?
No. I don't even know if I want to because I'm feeling, if it is what I think it is, and I'm going to open it up right now.
I don't know if this has been around for a while, but I saw it tonight, just before recording. I saw on somebody's Facebook, the Pony Up Daddy at ponyupdaddy.com. Oh. It's a saddle for dads.
It goes on your dad? Well, yeah. Oh, look at that. Well, okay, I guess I'm of two minds. I mean, if it – because my daughter loved horse rides when she was smaller, and I didn't mind doing it, except – that it wasn't very comfortable. So if this makes it more comfortable for the dad, like it should really be geared toward, because the daughter doesn't care. She just wants a pony ride.
Well, it seems to be making the process better for the kid who's already getting a pony. I mean, if you're making an invention, I feel like you should be asking, what problem am I solving? Right? Like,
yeah.
I can't breathe underwater. Oh, it's scuba gear. Like, where do I sit? I invented the chair.
Yeah.
But the problem with pony rides is your knees, not your lumbar, right?
Yeah, I mean, typically it's the knees is the first pain. I mean, I suppose if it was more cushioned on the kid's butt, it might hurt your back less or position them in a better spot that doesn't injure your back. But I think anywhere that you put a 40-pound kid, you have a potential for a back injury, right?
It seems to mean that the kid is going to want to ride on you longer.
Oh,
which is not what you
right.
want, because pony rides are fun for 1 second when you're like, I'm a dad, and then the second,
well, because
you're like,
here's
this is awful, and I want this to end.
Here's the only thing you had going for you, is that at any moment, you could buck the kid off of your back, right? You could lean forward, and they'd fall off that way. You'd buck to the side, and they'd fling off that way, and be like, oh, pony ride's over. And now they have a handle. Like, they have an advantage, and they will hang on longer.
Right. Now it's like a bar in the 70s.
Yeah.
They're going to see how long they can be on you.
Yeah. So it's a clear advantage to the kids, which why when we're doing all the work, why do they get a tool to help them? You know? Pony up, daddy.
Yeah. Oh, here's the video is showing. It says no more stretched out collars or broken necklaces.
Oh, because they're not grabbing onto your shirt, so it's
yeah.
just save your shirt. How about some knee pads to come, like matching knee pads or something?
Yeah, they should just market knee pads as pony ride daddy knee pads. That's all you need.
Oh, you know what they should give you is like those, like a knee pads, but they're like the plastic, like the stuff that you use to move your couches on carpet. And then,
oh, yeah.
And then you can make it a workout. So you do that thing where you like, you know, like almost like a crunch, but on your hands and knees.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep doing those to do the pony ride. Meanwhile, you've banged out 50 of those crunches and you're like workout over, right? Two birds, one stone. You got ripped abs. You got a six pack again and your kid's happy.
See, now that's an infomercial I can get into.
Yeah.
This is $25 plus five more shipping and handling. Yeah, I like your what? Crunch it up, daddy.
Crunch. Get swole, daddy.
Come see the dads from the Paternity Test Comedy Podcast in person. We will be at Brooklyn Boulders, Chicago. That's an indoor rock climbing gym where we've done a live show before. At Brooklyn Boulders, Chicago's annual extravaganza, That's EGGS Extravaganza on Saturday, April 15th from 9 to noon. The event is $15 for kids. Parents get in free. And it features egg spoon race, challenge courses, arts and crafts, and most excitingly, dig this, a vertical egg hunt.
Where do you put the eggs? You just have to, do you just keep throwing them down to your parents as you go up the wall finding them?
You know, maybe you put them in your chalk bag. I don't know.
You just got to keep shoving them in your mouth until you can't fit anymore.
That's right.
Oh, that's
they could give you a special basket to hook on your belt, right? There's those extra tool belts for if you're outside with like tiny hammers or whatever you use in a mountain. And you put your eggs in there. I'm so excited about this.
How many kids are going to be too distracted by the eggs to hang onto the wall? Like, look, I found one.
Well, luckily they're on belay.
Yeah, there's that. But then, you know, they get one egg and they fall down the wall. And then someone else's turn. I guess that's good. Then everyone gets some eggs.
Right. Spread the wealth. Because otherwise, if, you know, one kid goes all the way up and takes that path, you're going to have to get, like, does somebody come out in a bunny suit? Does Sean Spicer come out and,
yeah,
like, reset the wall?
Reset the wall. Oh, yeah, he's got to climb up. Or if you're my kids, you want to climb up to get some eggs.
Eggs.
Go get some eggs for dad.
Mike, Viva's never going to want to do a horizontal egg hunt again after this.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine what you're going to have to do next year when you can't go, if you can't go to Brooklyn Bowlers, you have to, like, put them up the side of the house and set up some kind of belay system for her?
Be suspended from a tree trying to get Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Well, you should sign up in advance and sign your mandatory waivers ahead of time because it takes a couple minutes to sign the "if I fall to my death, I won't sue you" waiver. So you don't want to stand in line for that. So go to BrooklynBoulders.com/Chicago. It's BrooklynBoulders.com/Chicago. Sign the waivers. Sign up. Everybody who came out last time had a blast. We had a whole bunch of listeners there last year, and they loved it. We'd love to meet some more of you. So come on out April 15th, 9 to noon at Brooklyn Boulders, Chicago.
I tell you what, after this, you're going to have to put the Christmas presents on top of the tree.
Oh, wow. Vertical Christmas. And now it's time for Health Beat. That's where you chase your beta blockers with some gainer fuel.
That's right. That's funny. Speaking of gainer fuel, we've been talking about Health Beat has been my update for quite a while. So I think this will be the last one for a while because no big changes. Hopefully everything will kind of level off or at least just keep going in the same direction. But, it's funny you mentioned that.
If you keep going in the same direction much longer, you're going to be Christian Bale in The Mechanic.
Well, I wonder what – I'm curious what that feels like, but I don't know that I want to be quite that skinny.
Feels like liver damage.
I guess so. That's true. I'm sure it's a medical crisis at that point. But, I mean, we did I had to give away my go-to suit. Like, I guess that's a milestone, is that I had to get rid of the suit that I've been wearing for every major function, you know, for the past number of years because it's my go-to. I've had like two suits. I'm going to wear suits a lot. I don't wear suits very much, so I don't have many of them. I've got two suits that are my go-to ones, but my main one is my navy blue one that we wore at Dave's wedding. It's been like my, okay, that's my standby. It always fits. The pants were always, you know, a good size for even when I was big, I could make them work. And I put it on the other day and the pants pretty much fell down past my butt to my ankles. Like, well, after I buttoned them.
Wow. So, after you buttoned them.
Yeah. Like I could just pull them straight down over my, over my midsection there, right over the arse. So,
fantastic.
So we, you know, the work, I know we talked earlier that, I'd kind of jumped on board. I lost a little bit of weight and then I jumped on board this work, kind of weight loss program and that ended on Friday. So this past Friday, so I had to do the final weigh-in and I was kind of hoping like, I hope I can end on like a 16-pound loss by the end of that. And I went and weighed in and it came out to a 20-pound loss during that, which was like after New Year's until now. And then before New Year's, I had lost 10. So my total weight loss was about 30 pounds since the fall when I hit my, I think 228 or whatever was my heaviest or whatever. I think my weigh-in weight at this thing was like 196.4.
What?
So how
long has it been since you've been under two bills?
Probably within a couple of months of my wedding, because I think for my wedding I was probably 195, but I think soon after my wedding I went back above 200 because it was like we just got married, so we went out to dinner all the time, and we went down to Disney for like our semi honeymoon thing, and then we found
you
out
paid for that cake. You really ought to finish it.
Yeah, and then I think a few months later we found out Kelly was pregnant, so then I started eating for two. And so then 200 was in the rearview mirror ever since then. The closest I ever got was like 210. I probably about 6-7 years ago, I tried losing weight. I started doing Insanity or something, I think it was. And I think I got down to 210, and then I went back up again. You can't maintain that Insanity program, It's insane, honestly.
It's right there in the name.
It's in the name. Why would you do a program that is a clinical psychosis? It's like a clinical diagnosis. It's like they could have called it like a heart attack. Like you just can't. No, I don't want to do something that's going to put me in the hospital. And it's
Try pathology, the workout. Yay!
So anyway, So yeah, it's been a long time, probably 15 years since I was under 200, and I didn't think it's much of it. Like I didn't think I looked very different, but then Kelly and a couple other people are like, "No, you look completely different.
You look totally different." You sent a picture to David the other night, and you looked—I mean, you look fantastic. You look great. But you sent a shirtless pic, and you were making it work, man.
Well, so now, of course, I get to the point where you're like, well, if I could be 196, why can't I just get to 190, right? Because then I'll start seeing, like, definition in places. But I also have this other way. I feel like I could swing back so easily. Like, if I have one day where I don't get up at 6:30 and run.
Vomit.
And vomit. And then, like, only drink shakes all day and then have a real light dinner. Like if I don't do that, I feel like I wake up the next day and I've gained 3 pounds.
Well, you probably have gained 3 pounds.
I might have, but like, why does it have to be so? I still feel like on a normal, like if I don't like engorge, if I don't just like go nuts and eat fast food for lunch and eat, a giant dinner and ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. But if I just have what you would call a normal day where I still work out a little bit, maybe we have a good dinner, but maybe it's not all like kale and salmon, but it's, a normal suburban dinner, whatever that might be. I think we had the Italian sausage the other night. I feel like if I have anything like that, I lose progress.
Yeah, my wife's got herself in that like extreme place of if she doesn't eat kale, chicken breast, and brown rice, she immediately sees a uptick.
It's maddening though, because why should it be that? I still feel like I'm. I think my Apple Watch, puts me that I'm burning 2,100 calories in a day just by like living, right? Just by getting up and doing my work. On a normal day, if I run which I don't run very long, I do a program on the treadmill that's kind of like a high intensity interval training thing. So you're not supposed to do it as long as a normal run where you don't just like run 6 miles at 5 miles an hour. It does this, I think I've talked about this before. It does a thing where I run at like 4.7 miles an hour, which is like a good jog for me. And then I run for 30, like every minute and a half, I run for 30 seconds, like sprint for 30 seconds. And the elevation goes up and it's really hard. And then it gets easy again. Like really hard and easy again. So high intensity interval training, right? It's supposed to be more effective than just a regular training thing. So it only takes about 25 minutes to do that, but you're drenched in sweat by the end. Your heart rate's gone up and down and up and down and up and down. So it's like an extra workout. It's not just like a sustained thing. And I do that, and I don't know why should I still feel like at 2,100 calories of burning that a day that I'm eating less than that. So that's a deficit, right?
Well, you can't deficit forever, right? You'd be in like weight free fall. So you must not be in a total deficit.
I guess, but I really need to write down, like figure out what my calorie intake is, but I don't think it's that much. I don't think I'm eating 2,500 calories a day right now, because I'm still usually supplementing like one shake a day, like one of those Isogenics, except that I've found my cheap alternative to it, which is which actually is marketed as a women's health shake. So it comes in like a pink container and contains like collagen and things for lady parts. I'll tell you what, though, my periods have really been much milder since I've started.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that the cramps are less, the back pain is less.
Yeah, and my flow is much more even. But so Nature's Bounty. That's what it's called. I think that's the name of the shake. Nature's Bounty for Women's Health.
I thought it was the name of your period.
Well, it could be that, too.
Is that a thing? Like
naming
boat?
Your... That's it. Kids, it's time for Nature's Bounty. Leave Mom alone for the next few days.
Daddy needs a little space. Nature's Bounty's come to visit.
Well, it's more fun to say than anti-flow, I guess.
That's right.
The
the hair on your back is looking shiny and luscious.
Yeah, I know. I don't even need to condition anymore. So, you know, I'll tell you what, though. I'm still, even though the diet contest is over, which, by the way, I have to say I won $100. So,
hey, 100. That'll buy you two more shakes.
Yeah. That's right. Shakes for everybody for one day.
So you're in first place?
I lost. Our team was in first place, and then I lost the third most overall.
Damn, who lost the most overall?
I know one guy lost 30 pounds in the time period that I lost 20. And someone else must have. I don't know who the other one was. I'm curious because I didn't see anyone else, you know, drop a whole bunch of weight that I remember seeing. So I have to find out who the second place person was. But yeah, so I think we got $50 for the team win, and I got $50 for the individual third place. So I got $100 out of it. So nice. That's pretty good. So I still it's over, but I haven't stopped my routine, which is good. I was worried that like I was working towards this goal of getting through this weight loss competition and doing well, and I was worried
my $100 and I'm going straight to Buena Beef.
Yeah, that's what I was worried, that it was as soon as it was over, you know, it's a number seven from Wendy's, you know, with extra pepper jack cheese or something, but which that's a spicy chicken.
Frosties for all my friends.
Yeah, but mostly for me.
Well, hey, get yourself down to 180, mm-hmm. and then when you go to Portillo's and you put on 3 pounds, you got like all kinds of margin.
Well, I guess that's what I'd like to. I'd like to get to the low 190s, so I feel like I have that margin of having, you know, say I have a bad weekend or an extra cheat weekend where we have family get-togethers or whatever it is, and I'm eating a little more than normal, and maybe because of the schedule I don't get the workout, but then I end up at 195 after a few days, and I got okay, well, that I can deal with, and I'll get back down to 190 if I, you know, after a while.
Right.
But I just don't want, like, that 200 mark, I'd love to not go over that anymore, you know? I'd love for that to be.
It's a realistic goal.
So I would like to get to that low 190 so I can have that buffer of saying I could stay under 200. You know what I really want to do now?
Yeah, talk about vertical Christmas.
Yeah.
When you were at Brooklyn Boulders last year.
Oh.
You were like 220.
I was really
right?
big. Yeah, I was my average for the past 11 years has been 224. So I would guarantee you when I was at Brooklyn Boulders last time, I was in the mid 220s.
And you were still climbing like a mofo because you used to work on a pirate ship and you're really good at climbing, right?
Yeah.
So you were like all over the big bouldering wall. So you're going to show up 30 pounds lighter this year. Think of what that climbing's going to be like. You've been like swinging two bats for 10 years.
Man, I'm going to be climbing on the ceiling Like, just, I'm not even going to wear a belay. I'm just going to go free climbing up the walls, across the ceiling, down the other side of the other walls.
Does whatever a spider can. The kids are all going to be crying because you're going to, like, go get all the peeps and all the Reese's eggs and climb down with them before they can even get their harnesses on.
Yeah, but then I can't eat them.
Oh, it's true. You'll just have to
I haven't had soda. I can't tell you the last time I had soda. I don't know when. I haven't had any fast food. Again, I can't tell you when I had fast food the last time.
Our non-Chicago listeners are probably very appreciative that you're saying soda and not pop.
There ain't no pop. I don't say pop because we don't have pop here. We have soda, and I don't drink soda. I haven't had soda in a long time, and we've talked about my secret eating or my secret. I always hide candy somewhere, like somewhere in my car. There's always a bag of jelly beans or gummy bears or whatever, you know. And I haven't had that. I've passed up many opportunities to, you know, what do you call that? Impulse buy when I'm in the checkout line.
It's getting easier and easier.
It's not saying that I don't still have desserts and stuff. I mean, I had a little bowl, but I use smaller bowls. It was frozen yogurt instead of ice cream tonight, you know, instead of like full on, full fat, full cream, full sugar ice cream. It was frozen yogurt, which was still good. It was delicious, but it's,
you know, that's what you can write in your diet book for dads. You know how lady diets are always like, use tiny plates or drink a glass of water before your meal. You can say, like, fill half your glove box with old newspapers so you could only put half a bag of jelly beans in there.
Every little bit helps, you know? Portion control.
Put half the hollow door of your car, fill it with weed so that there'll be less room for jube gels.
Well, you're going to need those jube gels after you have some of that weed anyway.
That's true. Did you miss weed season this year? Did you miss jube gel season this year?
No, Kelly got me some jube gels. Was it for my birthday that I got a couple of bags? And honestly, the kids got to them before I did. I had a couple, and I did. I bought myself one bag that I took it to work and hid it in my car or something. But again, it was one bag, and it was spread out over like a week. Normally I would buy two bags, eat them both back to back, before I got home so that no one else can have any. And the one
sitting in the driveway, your hand up to your wrist in the bag, you're crying.
Well, and what's funny is that, you know, it's gummy candy. It's hard to eat. And here I am trying to shovel this gummy candy and trying to eat it so damn fast. Like, what was my hurry? I'm trying to eat it so fast so that I could eat the whole bag before I got home so I didn't have to share it. And I didn't enjoy it because I was eating so fast.
Right. You're like Precious running down the street with a bucket of chicken. Like, how much fun could you be having, really?
Yeah. Well, it's a disease.
Folks, you already shop on Amazon. Why not put those dollars to work keeping this show on the air? And you can do it by using the Amazon portal on the support page at paternitypodcast.com. Actually, it's on the front page, too, now. Here's what you do. When you want to buy something on Amazon, go to paternitypodcast.com. You'll see Amazon stuff. Click on that, and Amazon opens up. Boom. That's it. Just shop. Buy stuff. Don't sign up for anything. You don't pay extra. Amazon knows you came through our website. And it sends us money. Sends us some of their profits, as a matter of fact. So it's not even your money. It's their money. They send it to us, and we use it to pay for the show. Todd, what have you been buying on the Amazons lately?
Well, of course, I'd have to buy something to do with my newfound interest in weight loss. So I was, you know, I've never been a supplement guy, but I was reading or something that I should have, since I work out first thing in the morning before I eat, that I should have some kind of an amino acid drink to...
Some, like, kind of horse gland, some kind of...
Yeah, so yeah, I have to saute a cow penis in the morning. No,
monkey testicles in a big pot.
Yeah, some buffalo brains in a shake form. I just put it in, you know, I could buy it dehydrated, so I don't have to actually handle it, but...
You can eat it like jerky instead of injecting it directly into your heart like you've been doing.
So there's a, you know, since you should have an amino acid drink. So I looked for recommendations, and this I found a recommendation I bought on Amazon. And at first I wasn't going to buy it because the name made it sound like I was buying it for another reason.
What is the name?
And so it's called, first of all, it's made by a company called Syvation, which is...
It's made by a company called Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Syvation, which I couldn't figure out what they were trying to combine.
Salivation innovation. And cyanide.
So it's Syvation. So maybe it's innovation and science? Maybe? Syvation? I don't think it's meant to make sense.
Elevation and sinuses?
Some kind of vation and some kind of psi. But it's called Syvation Extend BCAA's, you know, amino acid drink or whatever.
So you bought some Extends on the internet.
Well, so that was the issue, is that it looks like on paper.
I'm sure your wife loves your new workout regimen.
Bought some Extends, but this doesn't end in a Z like the other one does. That's for a different reason. This is just Extend, not Extends. So it's,
well, it's off brand. Some of that Canadian pharma.
Yeah, it was. Everything points north. So the I was also intrigued by the flavor choices because I was able to get a watermelon flavor. Because that's the thing. Here's the problem with all the shakes and all this, like, what do you call that? Isogenics. Everything is chocolate flavored and sweet and. You know, at some point, I'm like, okay, enough with the chocolate drinks. So
I assume it's because the chocolate is savory is not the right word. It's richer.
Yeah.
And so sure. More likely to cover the horrible clay-like taste of the powder.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, watermelon's a fairly delicate flavor. I think it would be hard to – I mean, an actual watermelon that you eat, I suppose, this is like the – flavor essence they put in a Jolly Rancher, I guess that could cover up some ills.
Yeah, so they have like watermelon, strawberry mango, strawberry kiwi, pink lemonade, pineapple, orange dream, mango nectar, lemon lime, green apple, grapefruit punch, and then blue raspberry, blood orange, or black cherry. Blood orange actually kind of interested me. But anyway, I got the watermelon because I like watermelon things. And it is so dang sweet. Like, you know, you're supposed to have one scoop. It says in, like, you know, 8 to 16 ounces of water. So it's like, oh, I'll put it in – I'll split the difference and put it in 12 ounces of water. It was like drinking straight out of the Slurpee machine. And it's – I don't know if you've had 5-Hour Energy before, right?
Yes.
So with 5-Hour Energy, you know, it's filled with B vitamins. It's like you get 2,000% of your daily B vitamins and a whole bunch of niacin, and you get what's called a niacin flush, where your skin feels like it's alive, you know, like it tingles. Like you could feel every layer of your epidermis. And so this stuff did that to me. Like I feel like it was doing – it's. I wasn't doing a hard enough workout to compensate for what this was doing to my body.
Right. It just turns you into a Cronenberg monster.
Yes. But I wasn't doing monster type of workouts. I think this is for guys. This is for like muscle heads who want to get six extra leg presses in because they've got 650 pounds on the machine and they want to, you know, so they're screaming out loud with every press they're doing so that everyone in the gym pays attention to them. They've got a spotter. No one's spotting me when I do. If I don't need a spotter, I don't need this drink is what I've kind of realized.
That makes sense.
You know, unless my workout requires a spotter, I also don't require
your workout
drink.
Can't crush you to death.
Yeah.
You don't need a special drink.
I got to tell you, I know we're talking about Amazon right now, but I was speaking of, you know, every once in a while I'm flipping through social media and I don't really, you know, I'm just flipping. I'm kind of a zombie. Like you're not, sometimes you don't even pay attention. You're just doing it because it's a habit, right? I have nothing interesting on here I want to read. Well, someone posts a video that looks like someone doing a leg press on, you know, one of those inclined leg press machines where you're kind of at an angle, like sitting back at an angle.
Yep.
Like you're trying to take off in the space shuttle, but instead you just have to push a whole bunch of weight up with your legs. So this guy is doing it and he has lots of weight on it. And I'm like, oh, I'll see like the six, see him succeed, and he will like get high fives. Well, he straightens out. He's doing the leg presses where he doesn't quite lock his legs all the way with each press, which is probably how you're supposed to do it. But on the last one, he locks his legs, and his left leg decides to keep going the other direction.
Oh no!
Under all the weight, which is why I don't do leg presses.
Oh,
it was one of those where you couldn't stop the video fast enough. You know, once you realize what was happening and you saw the first bend of the leg, you were trying so hard to close the video.
Oh man!
I couldn't remember if I was supposed to swipe it up or down to get rid of the video. I just gotta get rid of it. Ugh!
Yeah, you just throw your phone as hard as you can.
Yeah. By the way, I need a new phone.
Right. I did the. This is the problem with legs is
legs
can push more weight than your like joints can handle.
Yeah.
And your bones, and you know, generally you're not gonna with your arms.
Mm-hmm.
Handle so much weight that you
with
die.
Your arms.
That's why I can't stand watching everybody's douche fit.
Douche fit. Oh,
the gyms. CrossFit? They're all called like Thunder Blast.
Thunder Blast. Anal rupture. What?
Right. But they do the fake
hemorrhoid. The fake pull ups. Are you talking about CrossFit?
CrossFit.
Yeah.
Watching people doing their like massive cleans.
Mm-hmm.
At the CrossFit gyms, and I'm just waiting for that weight to fly over the back of their head and snap their back
in half or
fall straight down on them.
Yeah, there's plenty of videos of that if you're interested. So,
oh, I can't stand. Or even watching people do their muscle ups, mm-hmm. where you like sloppily pull yourself onto some you know, Cheerio rings and then up till your arms are straight.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch people who are good at it, and it seems like they have some form. But you watch people who are just getting into it, and you're like, oh, you're going to just tear an arm off while I'm watching. Like, my Instagram feed is going to bleed.
Well, so that's what I kind of realized, that unless my workout is so grueling that I can't complete my workout, then maybe I do need this drink to help me complete the workout. But I can do my workouts okay without this drink, like, messing with my body, because it makes me feel all tingly, and then... And then my head feels real tight, like I get headaches. So now I've had to stop taking it. So I spent $50 on this thing of powder that looks like I have some kind of dysfunction, you know, some kind of erectile dysfunction, because I have a big tub of Extend in my cabinet now.
Giant tub of Extends.
Giant tub. Yeah, it's like, man.
If you use it like Fun Dip.
You really could. It's fluorescent. It is so bright. It's amazing, the color. And I can't be natural. And whatever it's sweetened with, it says that it's, I don't know if it's stevia or sucralose or whatever, but man, is it, it's intense. It tastes good, though, actually. In terms of being a supplement drink, it actually tastes pretty good. But
this is by your standards, and you do like to drink directly out of the Slurpee machine, so.
Yeah. No, it's overly. I've had to start putting like lots, 18 ounces of water in it. I just don't think it's for me. You know, I don't think it's meant for me. It's
right.
For the picture. There should be a picture on the giant tub that says, is this you? If not, this isn't for you. You know,
right. Are you in a competition in Northern Europe where you throw telephone poles?
Yeah.
No, not for you.
Oh, you run 25 minutes a day? Nah, you skip this.
Have you considered a glass of water?
You don't even have to have it before you run. Just when you get home, you'll be thirsty. Have some water. Hey, if you like the paternity test, please help us tell other people about it. You can subscribe on iTunes, and you can leave us a review. It's quick and it's easy and helps other listeners find us.
Read our weekly paternity test blog at chicagoparent.com and our monthly column, Viva Daddy, in Chicago Parent Magazine, available wherever. You can pay for spring break camp for just $1 zillion extra. Hey, folks, social media is not just for fitspirational selfies of your mediocre physique. It's also for us. Like our page on Facebook, share our posts, and follow us on Pinterest, on Instagram at The Paternity Test, and on Twitter at the dad test.
And you could send us a question or a comment for the paternity test mailbag. Just email us at paternitypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at our phone number, 657-BAD-DADS. And now it's time for Scarred for Life, where you should always take that extra moment to check the lock on the door before mommy and daddy have their special time.
Oh, hey, I bet you're enjoying some extra special time now that you got now that you're down 30 pounds and have a case of Extend in the closet.
Oh, I'm just too tired all the time now. Right. Sorry, I don't want to mess up my workout. I'm gonna pass this time, you know.
My watermelon amino acid drink is giving me too much of a headache.
That's right.
Well, it's aired now. You might have seen a week ago that Viva made her TV debut on Windy City Live.
She was adorable.
Thank you. Thank you. She did a nice job. And that segment was a surprise, so I couldn't really talk about it much before it aired. I have demurred. But now that it's aired, and you can check it out on our Facebook page and the Paternity Test Facebook page, or you can check it out on Windy City Live's Facebook page or on their regular webpage.
You shared it on
that was
Twitter.
On ABC7 Chicago. And it was Kids Read Hate Mail was the sketch, and she and a few other of Chicago's most adorable kids read some hate mail that the show got. Thought I'd talk a little bit about the making of situation kind of what it, I don't know, what bringing my kid to a TV show did to me and what it did to her and what it means for the future. Because, I don't know, it was a scary developmental moment.
In terms of, is it one of those moments where you were just... weren't sure how to handle in terms of developmental.
We got a call from the executive producer of the show saying, "Hey, could Viva do this?" And there was a lot of text in the email. And she's, you know, barely literate. She's five. She's just learning to read now. So she wasn't going to.
Oh, when my kids were five, they were reading at a third grade level.
So she wasn't going to memorize a whole email, and she certainly wasn't going to read it off the cue cards. The first several phrases she kind of memorized, and then in the studio, because it was a pre-taped segment, I was standing off to the side of the camera reading it phrase by phrase, and she was
acting it back
at the camera.
I could tell that she was getting...
When we did the show a year ago and did that Christmas drinks thing, they showed a picture of our kids, and I had gotten her all excited that she was going to get to see herself on TV, and she saw a still picture of herself, and she actually cried. And she said, "No, I don't want to see a picture of myself on TV. I want to be on TV."
Oh, man.
Which in itself is a scary sort of personality trait to see pop out, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. So that was not good enough for her.
She wanted to be on TV. So then I said, "Hey, you're going to be on TV. Like, you've got memorized lines. You're going to act like this is... big time now, sister."
Yeah.
And
you've already created her IMDb
page. I thought she'd be excited, but then the amount of text started to freak her out.
Oh.
And I could tell when we were practicing that she was like, "I don't want to work on my lines. I want to go play." Yeah. And kind of she wasn't making eye contact. I'm like, she's freaking out.
"Daddy, can I just be a picture on TV?"
"I don't want to be a person on TV. I just want to be a picture on TV." So we got ready that day, and she put on clothes, and she was excited, and we were driving down. Then I noticed as we were on Lakeshore Drive getting closer to ABC that she was getting quieter. And I thought, oh, man, you know, stage fright. And we got into the studio. And
it's hard with kids that young, because once they decide to clam up, there's no reasoning with them. You know what I mean? Like, once she decides this isn't for her, I mean, you just pack up and go home.
Yeah, there's no coming back from that. I'm glad, which I'm sure is why it was a pre-taped segment. Because, I knew if she panicked or clammed up, donezo.
Yeah, it might be called Windy City Live, but they ain't dumb.
Right. Yeah, if it's got animals or kids, it's probably pre-taped.
Yeah.
So she got, you know, she got to sit in the big makeup chair. My only regret of the day is that I didn't get a picture of her in the big makeup chair.
A terrible father.
That was pretty special. But then we went in the studio, and you remember that studio is actually quite large. Because all the different areas are in the same room, like the kitchen area and
the little couch dance area, and the talk, dance floor, or the stair, the little stage. They have like a little stage area, kind of like where the stairs are.
And then the studio audience area too. And it was between, they do two tapings on Thursday. Like most talk shows, you do two on Thursday and then
take Friday off. Hello?
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, you cut out for a second.
Okay. So between the two tapings on Thursday, they brought us in to do this. So the whole room was empty. And the crew was awesome. Like, they were very gentle with her and patient. So it was just, like, the cameraman, one floor manager, and then there were two producers in the booth watching her do this. But, boy, they sat her in that chair. She's so little. And then they pushed this gigungus TV camera at her. And she's in this huge empty studio, and I could see the fear in her eyes. And she did not want to play ball.
Could she see herself on, like, a monitor or anything? And I don't know if that would be good or bad, but did she see...
Good, and
actually
I think
on
she
TV?
Couldn't.
Oh, okay.
I think there was the teleprompter monitor.
Yeah.
But I think that was probably just blank.
Okay, so she couldn't see, like, an offstage monitor that she was on the camera. But she just saw this big giant...
I think that might have helped.
Yeah, because it'd be fun. She'd probably get a kick out of that.
Yeah, because she likes to, you know, act in the...
Yeah.
Act in the theater and stuff as all little kids and members of my household like
to
do.
She might have played to the camera a little bit.
Yeah.
To see that she's on TV and then maybe been relaxed. But so did this could have broken either way here. You could have this could have set her up to never want to go into show business, or she, you know.
Right.
Now, probably the hardest part for you is how much do you intervene there, you know. Like, do you push? Or because the last thing you want to do is feel like everyone there is wasting their time. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's, I think, what freaked me out the most about the experience is that, I mean, luckily, I teach theater to kids. So I had some, and they were definitely letting me be her coach. So I was, you know, I had some tricks to make her have better diction and be louder and relax. And so I was pulling out all the tricks, but I could definitely feel the Mama Rose inside of me saying, like, my internal monologue was definitely, don't screw this up for me, kid.
It was, your internal monologue, I'm sure, was much more aggressive than what.
Yeah, it was like mean and selfish and weird and.
And it's probably more, don't screw this up for me.
Right.
Don't you screw this up for me.
Right.
Wait a minute.
I've always wanted to be a child star. There was definitely, I didn't even know that was everything I never did. Yeah. Because there's no end game to this appearance. You know, like, this isn't really like a stepping stone to some other thing. It was just a really fun thing for her.
It should be fun. Yeah, it should be fun for her and a cool memory for you guys. But
I mean, it's a great memory forever. But it's not like I was like, oh, if we do this, then we'll get her an agent tomorrow, and we'll get her a national commercial on Wednesday. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. There's no master plan here. This just seemed like a really fun showbiz thing to do. But I don't know. I felt the power of the dark side as she clammed up. Now, ultimately, she didn't clam up. She delivered, and then after it was over, she relaxed, and then she wanted to run all over the set. She was posing on the set. Yeah. She was sitting at the news desk, and, you know, I had to drag her out of the studio afterwards because she wanted to. It's like when you go on a roller coaster.
Yeah, you get that first ride over, which just happened to us at Disney of this, you know, in December when we went, and Ellie went on a roller coaster, and she was terrified, and then she did it six more times because she liked being terrified.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Like, as soon as they said, that's a wrap, they didn't actually say that's a wrap, but had they said that's a wrap, she was immediately like, where's my pilot?
Yeah.
And then now she's, you know, showing off to her. She's like, oh yeah,
she realized,
I was on TV yesterday. was in the studio doing, you know.
I'm sure she realized it wasn't as scary as she thought. And luckily you didn't. You could have, like, one sideways glance or bad, you know, phrasing from you could have shut that all down in terms of just.
Well, as we were going down the drive, I must have said to her six times, hey, sweetie, listen, you know, I love you very much. I love you no matter what. We're doing this for fun. If you get too scared and you just want to leave, I won't love you any less. You know, I don't know if she buys that.
Either that or it sounds like you're telling her you're going to be very scared. Like, if you get too scared, because it's going to be, why would I get scared? Is it going to be scary?
If this causes you to lose bladder control, don't be ashamed.
Why would I wet myself? What's going to happen? Oh, my gosh. Let's let go. Yeah, that's tough. Well, you know, it's that's good that it worked out because it's I knew, of course, that she could pull that off because the way, you know, I've seen her, you know, when she gets on, before she even knew, like, who I ever was, you'd put her on the headphones and give her the microphone for the podcast and she'd have full-on conversations and make jokes and things. And the videos you guys make are adorable. And so obviously she has a knack for it, you know, having the showbiz background. But that's a big step to get over that. The intimidation of a studio, you know what I mean? It's one thing to do it in your house, but the fact that
when you're singing into a hairbrush, it's one thing, but when you are clearly in a professional place with strange grown-ups and headsets.
Were you there with any of the other kids and parents recording? Did you get to see?
They were on different days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was curious if anyone else had
helped
a meltdown.
That might have helped, actually, but no, they came other days, which I think, well, it's probably a good idea to keep them all separate cause so that... you know, if one kid freaked out, they'd all freak out.
Yeah. Or one parent, you know, it could almost better because not to have all the stage parents there at the same time, too.
Holy. Yeah. We auditioned for a shampoo ad a couple years ago. And man, it was tough being in a lobby with all those stage parents. I mean, they were bonkers. It's why we have, you know, it's one of the reasons we haven't done more of it since.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no joke that stage parents are. Stage parents. Now, what's the... You've been coaching lately.
Yeah.
And the stakes are getting higher as the kids are getting older, baseball-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't coach-pitch. You know, everybody gets to bat around.
It's hard to say that it's just for fun.
How do you balance the hateful dad that wants to bubble up from inside of you and scream at everybody?
Well, I guess the difference is as long as you're fair across the board, like if it looks like you're picking on your kid more than the others necessarily, or that, you know, there's different sets of standards, that's when your kid starts to resent you. You know what I mean? But if you're even handed with it and everyone gets the same treatment and the same criticisms and the same praise, obviously that works too. Like if you're praising all the other 10 kids on the team but not your own kid, you know, because you're trying not to show favoritism, well, they're going to resent that just as much as if you were picking on them, you know? So you can't. So that's obviously one of the things I try to do. The other thing is we have two coaches, right? So I let him handle most of the stuff with my son, and I try to, you know, in terms of, especially when it comes to criticism, obviously we praise everybody and stuff, but when it comes to criticism, one, you know, timing is everything. You don't do it, you know, one, while they're still on the field, or even sometimes right when they come off, because it's just they're not in a state of learning. You know what I mean? They're not going to even remember what you told them if you pull them off right after a mistake while they're coming to the dugout. And what were you thinking there? You should have done this. You should have done that. And they forgot it. They weren't even listening to you because they were thinking about it. You know, they felt bad. So the timing of that. But, you know,
if you're mad at your kid, do you, like, smack another kid just to – make it all seem more even-handed?
Yeah, you smack them all. Smack them all.
I'm disgusted by all of you.
Well, and the best thing is to not coach. Like, this probably needs to be my last year of coaching that age because, you know, Alex needs to, you know, he needs to go through that stuff without me there, you know, whether it's getting benched or having a good game or a bad game or, you know, but just having it without, you know, without me there to, you know, kind of take any of that away from him in terms of the, the ownership of it, you know, let it be his. So yeah, that's, you know, I'm kind of, it's bittersweet because I feel like this could be my last year, but it's also really my first year. I mean, I've been coaching him since he was little, but I've always been an assistant, right? So I've always just kind of been on the sidelines. I kind of followed the lead of the other coaches, you know, but the last couple of years I've had more opinions on how we should approach it. Well, this is the first year I get to do it, and it's hard to do it in one season. Like, I could, by the end of this year, I'll be like, oh, we should have done this, and I should have been able to do this, and this would have been more effective. I'll probably want to coach 3 more years, but I shouldn't do it with Alex. So then what? I just volunteer to coach someone, some random team?
Yeah, then you're the scoutmaster with no kids in the troop.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, when you start showing up to Windy City Live to help help the, you know, volunteer produce the show. Guys, I brought some ideas. Security. No, really, I learned a lot from the time I was here. Remember that time I was here with my daughter? Remember that? Hey, guys, remember?
Doing a bit with kids today. It's all right, I brought puppets.
Well, folks, it's time for another episode of The Paternity Test to put on its Pony Up Daddy saddle and get driven into a ravine.
Follow us on Twitter at The Dad Test, like us on Facebook, and visit our website, paternitypodcast.com, or email us at paternitypodcast@gmail.com. You can catch us Tuesdays at chicagoparent.com. Call our voicemail, 657-BAD-DADS. Leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Tell your friends about the show, and please consider a donation to the show via our PayPal link at paternitypodcast.com, and come out and climb with us near Easter at Brooklyn Boulder Chicago's annual Eggstravaganza, Saturday, April 15th, 9 to noon.
All right, everybody, remember, when you reach into the medicine cabinet before heading off to the gym, make sure you grab the right extends, or you may end up with a lifetime ban. And until next time, best of luck passing the paternity test.